The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Don't miss our next ACC Big 12 Big Monday doubleheader tonight. It's Carolina-Louisville, 7 Eastern, and then number 7 Baylor taking on Oklahoma State. Both games right here on ESPN and the ESPN app, where we begin another hour live from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase, as always, and we are jam-packed with Graziano here and a bunch of great football conversation, and the basketball guys are standing by after what was a fun night and a not-so-fun afternoon. Cindy, let's roll it for hour number 2. We are jam-packed. We're getting up with a superstar Sunday. Steph shines the brightest, but it's the hometown kid who gets the last laugh. We've got the highlights of the All-Star festivities. Meanwhile, an ugly scene from the college game. What will be the fallout from this forgettable moment? We've got the insight just moments away. And then we will tell you why tomorrow could be the day we finally hear the final word from a man who's had so much to say over the last year. All that and more as we get up, starting right now with the game of the night. All-Star festivities in Cleveland. LeBron James back where it all began. Back with the man who began it all for him, Michael Jordan. LeBron, how about that? And then the stars are out. It's Steph Curry feeling good. Oh, and it's Trey Young and John Morant putting together a pretty nice little combination. Early two young superstar point guards. Trey throwing it up. Ja throwing it down. Everybody's having a good time in the early going. But no one more fun than Steph Curry. Third quarter is where it heats up. Look at the range. He could just throw it in from anywhere. Look at this. Watch this one. Watch Steph turn around before the ball gets anywhere near the basket. I mean, he knows. Look at that. Steph Curry, he's having fun. Everybody's having fun watching him. Look at that. That's Allen Iverson in there with D-Wade and Reggie. And then here's Steph in the corner. That's his 15th three-pointer of the day. He had 45 at that juncture. Fourth quarter, they set the target score at 163. Team LeBron is up by 2. Look at this one. Steph with the high arcer. He finished with 50, second player ever to score 50 in an All-Star game. Now, this one would win it. That's for the victory, but it's short from Steph, and now we're going the other way. And Zach LaVine's going to knock down a 3, so it's 161-160. Both teams within one shot of a win. And what could be a more appropriate finish than this? LeBron, the kid from Akron, back in Cleveland with a game-winning bucket. Steph is the MVP. LeBron gets the last laugh. Steph gets the Kobe Bryant trophy, scoring 50. Team LeBron wins it 163-160. A good time had by all.
Like, obviously, you know I'm going to come in and shoot a lot of threes, but I got hot early, and then the avalanche started and kind of put on a little bit of show, and it was fun. Like, there's a good energy in here, even though I got booed earlier.
I couldn't have dreamt it. I could not have dreamed of that moment any better than the actuality that just happened. To hit the game winner in an All-Star game where me and my guys back in the back, we, you know, used to watch the All-Star game, and to be here for my wife and my kids and my family, my mom, and so many people that seen me grow from a young toddler to who I am today.
Not an emotional moment there for him, but it's Steph. Less than a month from his 34th birthday with the 50 points. 16 of his 17 makes were threes. That is 7 more threes than any player ever had in All-Star game history. So that was the highlight. Now to yesterday's low light. It took place in the afternoon, Madison, Wisconsin. It's the Badgers against Michigan. Game is over, okay? 22 seconds left. Wisconsin's up by 15. Michigan is pressing. I'm not sure why. But then we're going to lose a shoe. And so then a timeout is going to be called by Wisconsin's coach Greg Gard, which, of course, it feels like a violation of some code here. Again, 15 seconds left in a 15-point game. So Juwan Howard does it like that. So now we get to the handshake line afterwards, and Howard is just trying to kind of blow by. Greg Gard wants to say something to him. Juwan doesn't want to hear it. Now we got back and forth. They're in each other's face, and then it gets much, much worse. You will see Howard lunging. I'm not sure that punch is the right word for this. He sort of throws an open hand that connects with the face of Wisconsin assistant Joe Krabbenhoft. And so now, of course, all the players are going to get involved. So we got pushing, we got shoving, we have some punches being thrown. Just a terrible scene between these teams. Again, the game is over at this point. This is during the handshake line. So it couldn't be a less attractive spectacle for these two proud franchises. Wisconsin winds up winning it. Let's hear from them after.
I didn't like the timeout being called, and I'll be totally honest with you. I thought it was, not necessary at that moment, especially being in a large lead. And then for half a timeout to be called with 3 seconds or 4 seconds to go, I thought that was, what I felt wasn't fair to our guys. And so that's what happened. Touching me unnecessary wasn't cause for that when we were talking. And at that point, I thought that was, time to protect myself.
He came up to me and pulled his max down and said, "I'll remember that." And he started pointing it at me and tapped me in the chest. And I said, "Hold on. Let me explain to you why I took the time out." Maybe he doesn't know the rule that you get the 10 seconds reset. I wasn't going to put my players in that type of situation to have to break a press in 4 seconds.
All right, so whatever the reasons were, Michigan's AD Ward Manuel said there's no excuse for any of our staff or student athletes to get into a physical altercation with others, regardless of instigating factors. I reached out and apologized to Chris McIntosh, and President Coleman has reached out to the chancellor to apologize for the totally unacceptable behavior. We will review the situation more thoroughly and work with the Big Ten as they determine their disciplinary actions, and will determine if further disciplinary actions are warranted. Earlier this morning, we had Jay Billis with us here on Get Up. Here's what he had to say.
It was disappointing to see two coaches get in a fight in the handshake line after a game. Is profoundly disappointing. I mean, usually it's the administrators and the coaches that are waving their finger at the players to show decorum and to act the right way. And then when the coaches can't do it, it's really disappointing. And it's also disappointing that people are talking about, well, this guy pressed and this guy called a timeout. So what? None of that matters. The game was over. And if we can't act the right way in the handshake line and then can't take the proper tone in the press conferences afterwards, I don't know what. It's really disappointing.
As I bring Seth Greenberg into the conversation for more, I'll point out Michigan's next game is at home against Rutgers on Wednesday night. Wisconsin also plays Wednesday night. They are at Minnesota. So, Seth, let's get to what the reaction that is appropriate here would be from the conference, from the universities themselves. How do you think this thing should play out going forward?
Well, I think this should be a suspension. It should be a serious. They need to send a message. Like, here's the thing. We've been talking about this handshake line thing a lot. I mean, like, in college athletics or in any sport, what does sport teach you, Greeny? It teaches you how to work with others, the benefit of hard work, respect your teammates, respect your opponent, and also, to deal with adversity. You win a game, you lose a game. You know what? You should be able to be above it. For the coaches, especially Juwan in this instance, to respond the way he responded. That was a blow-by right there, all right? Gregoire didn't have to put his hand on him. Gregoire didn't have to respond. He should have probably just moved on. But cause and effect. The effect of Juwan's reaction created a melee that put those players in at risk. It's unacceptable, the behavior. And both coaches need to take responsibility. Obviously, it escalated to the point where, you know what? It's just unacceptable. It's a bad message. There's a standard that coaches need to be held to. And you know what? That standard was crossed. A bad example was set. I think that a minimum of 2 games and maybe more. For Juwan Howard, and probably a reprimand for Greg Gard of saying, you know what, he doesn't want to talk to me. I shouldn't put my hand on him. I'll tell you another thing, Grady. Like, as a coach, the end of the game, you coach your own team. If Juwan Howard's pressing, that's his choice. He can press. You know what? If Greg Gard decides to call timeout so he can get the ball in bounds and advance the ball in 4 seconds, that's his choice. Coach your own team. Don't worry about the other team. Stay in a moment for your team. Do what's the best interest of your team. But the example that was set was absolutely horrific to me.
Understood. I want to make sure everyone understands what you mean by a blow-by. So to be clear, while yes, so Juwan is upset that Greg Gard is calling the timeout there, he's trying to walk by. He wants to demonstrate the fact that he's upset by basically not even acknowledging him in the line. That's going to be his, passive-aggressive way of demonstrating that this bothered him. And then Gard stops him, right? I just want to make it clear to everyone what you mean by a blow-by.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, there are all different ways that, you know, in handshake lines, it's kind of funny, depending on the relationship you have with your opponent. You know, some guys, you know, take time to talk to each other. Sometimes give each other a hug. Some guys give a wet fish. I mean, it's all different ways and messaging when you shake hands in a handshake line. But that was a blow-by. And you know what? Greg should have respected it and moved on. That's why, you know, trying to kind of explain himself. He didn't need to explain himself why he called a timeout. And Juwan didn't need to explain himself on why he continued to press. But no matter what Greg Gard did, the response was unacceptable. And there needs to be an accountability. The coaches need to be held to a standard and set an example for the rest of their players. And, you know, you saw what happened. I mean, DeBite, he swung at someone. It was unacceptable all across the board.
I'll repeat, both teams' next game is set for Wednesday night, and so we'll see what happens between now and then. Seth, thanks a million for getting up with us here. We appreciate the perspective, as always. All right, let me turn my attention to the NFL, because it's a big week in that sport, and I got Graziano here. Franchise tag window opens tomorrow. Dan, take me through some of the important names in all this.
All right, AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals have a star safety named Jesse Bates. He is going to be a free agent. He is a strong candidate, for the franchise tag. A year ago, they were debating, are we going to need to use this on Jesse Bates or Sam Hubbard? Well, they signed Hubbard long term. So guess what? Jesse Bates, looks like you are the guy in line for the franchise tag if you can't get a long-term deal done with the Bengals before that deadline. Orlando Brown, remember the tackle that the Baltimore Ravens traded to the Kansas City Chiefs last offseason because he wanted to play left tackle instead of right tackle where he was playing in Baltimore. He played left tackle, got a lot better as the season went along, and is a candidate for the franchise tag if he and the Chiefs cannot come to an agreement on a long-term deal before that deadline of March 8th. Watch out for Orlando Brown to be a key part of the Chiefs' offseason plans. Of course, the big one, wide receiver Davante Adams of the Green Bay Packers. This is a team that's projected to be way over the salary cap. It's a team whose quarterback has not yet informed him if he wants to come back and play for them next year or whether he'll retire or force a trade. Davante Adams, a big part of Green Bay's plans, likely either way, but especially if they're trying to do whatever it takes to appease and bring back Aaron Rodgers. I would look for Green Bay to franchise Davante Adams at some point in the next couple of weeks as a sign to Rodgers that they are, in fact, all in.
All right, so I bring Mike Tannenbaum and RG3 into the conversation with us this morning, guys. And Mike T, let me just start with you again as the general manager in our conversation. If you're running the show there in Green Bay, are you putting the tag on Davante Adams?
1,000%, and I'm doing it tomorrow morning, Greeny, and here's why. I'm using it as a meaningful tactic and message to send to Aaron Rodgers. We want you back in the worst way. We're bringing back your teammate, good friend, one of the best receivers in the league, and we're going to do it immediately and send the right message. And then secondarily, if for whatever reason it doesn't work out with Rodgers, Greeny, Davante Adams is a great player, and you have a chance this year as the Green Bay Packers to win the North without Rodgers because it's a weak division. And if you get a representative veteran quarterback like a Jimmy G, a Jameis Winston, to compete with Jordan Love, you may win, and Davante Adams is a big part of that.
So then, RG3, let me come to you on that, because to tag Davante Adams to send a message to Rodgers, I totally get it. But at the same time, Davante Adams is a guy who's been a great player for a long time, and he's 30 years old. I've had it suggested that that would be an unpopular move in a lot of people's view to sort of, if it came to them forcing him to play on the franchise tag. I'm just curious, RG3, you're a recent player, so you sort of understand the dynamics there. How would that play out?
Yeah, Greenberg, you're completely right. Davante Adams has earned the right not to play on the tag. When I was a player rep in my last few years in the league, this was a conversation that was had at the renegotiations of the CBA, trying to get the franchise tag taken out. So whether you plan on having Aaron Rodgers come back or not, Davante Adams is a great player, whether he's playing with Aaron Rodgers or he's playing with Jordan Love, whoever else they bring in there. But the bottom line is that him and Aaron Rodgers go together like peanut butter and jelly, and there's not a better place in the entire league for Aaron Rodgers to play. So if they do tag Davante Adams, I hope it's just a precursor to try to show Aaron Rodgers that they want him back, but also a precursor to Davante Adams getting a long-term contract.
Would that be the plan, Mike T? Does Davante Adams get the long-term contract that I think everyone basically agrees he deserves, however the Rodgers thing plays out?
Yeah, for a number of reasons. One, he deserves it. Secondly, as Dan pointed out earlier, they have massive cap challenges. So if I'm Green Bay, I want to front load the deal with a big sign bonus, prorate it out, and lower the cap number so we could kill two birds with one stone by doing a long-term deal for Adams.
Quickly, Dan, is that the expectation here? Would you expect to hear that he is tagged at some point soon?
Yes, I think Mike's idea about them doing it right away early in the franchise window is very interesting. This is a team that's trying to show Aaron Rodgers how much it – remember last week they brought back his old quarterback coach out of retirement, but not even knowing for sure he was coming back. So they are doing everything they can to sell themselves to Aaron Rodgers.
Now, all this is going to play out in the next couple of weeks here. Maybe tomorrow's the day the first domino falls. As we continue on Get Up This Morning, Jerry's decision to bring back all the coaches, is that the right move as far as Dak Prescott is concerned? He's talking about it, and so is our quarterback. RG3 has his thoughts. They might surprise you next. Plus, LeBron hits the big shot that makes the big news at All-Star Weekend. Is he putting his team on notice? You'll hear from him next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We're back on Get Up with Overreaction Monday. So I'm going to say some things that I think people are generally saying, and then Dan Graziano is going to tell us if those things are an overreaction. So let's start with this. If I were to say Carson Wentz will be someone's starting quarterback next season, is that an overreaction?
I think it's an overreaction. I think it's possible he is, but it sounds like the Colts may be done with him unless they're going to soften on that stance. He's going to have to go find a job somewhere else. And there was not a huge, robust market for his services when the Eagles were trying to trade him last year. If he flopped in Indianapolis and they're done with him after what a perfect situation that was supposed to be for him, he may have to go fight for a job somewhere else.
I think that's right. It's not that he won't be in the league, but the idea that someone brings him in and hands him the job, I agree, that is questionable. All right, let's go to Trey Lance next. If I were to say Trey Lance will lead the 49ers to an NFC West title next season, would that be an overreaction?
I don't think it's an overreaction. I think that the 49ers have shown under Kyle Shanahan that when they're a healthy team, they are a good team, a contending team. And I think even in that division, which has the Super Bowl champions in it, and Arizona and Seattle, I think they'll be a strong contender with the group that they'll put around Trey Lance. A full offseason of his development, I think, would put him in a good position to succeed in Kyle Shanahan's offense.
We're hearing great things out of there, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
We're hearing they
the
love
him. The talent is undeniable.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a third pick in the draft for a reason. The question is, can they get him ready to be a starter next season? They think they can.
All right, one more quarterback. If I were to say Dak Prescott is set up to have his best season yet, is that an overreaction?
I think it is, because I think we need to see what happens with the Dallas Cowboys roster first. They need more work on that offensive line than we're inclined to think they do. They don't know what they're going to have at wide receiver. Are they going to have to cut Amari Cooper for cap reasons? Michael Gallup, a free agent and also injured. Is CeeDee Lamb capable of being a number one? Is Ezekiel Elliott ever going to look like Ezekiel Elliott again? There are a lot of issues on that offense that they have to address in order for him to have his best season ever, which would be a pretty high bar, by the way. His rookie season, I think, is still maybe his best ever, and it was a great one.
Yeah, he's put up huge numbers.
Yeah.
There's two different ways of looking at this, really, because he's not coming back from an injury as he was last year, so that should help, and he's got his contract situation stable, so that should help. And then there's the stability of all the coaches coming back. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, Dak says it's a good thing. He says, I think as much as it benefits me, it benefits just the offense in general and the team structure and culture. We were fortunate to get through the coaching changes, keeping the OC and the DC. It brings a lot of excitement, I know, to the building. And to be clear, if that isn't clear enough, the OC means offensive coordinator, and that's Kellen Moore, who is back. And the DC is defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, who is also back. So RG3, is it as simple as saying, well, all those coaches are coming back? That's obviously a good thing for the Cowboys.
Well, I mean, what do you expect Dak to say, right? Continuity oftentimes is a precursor to success. I just don't think it's that good for the Cowboys in this case, right? You're bringing back two coordinators from a team that achieved last year. And not only that, you're bringing back the two dark horse, or should I say in-house candidates, to replace Mike McCarthy after he had a tough year with clock management. So I just look at this team and I think Dak Prescott will definitely play better because he's just another year removed from a significant injury. But also Kellen Moore has to get this offense clicking and putting up points so they can win games, not just lead the league in yards per game. They have to win games and they have way too much talent to not have that happen. Now, as you guys mentioned, they got to figure out what they're going to do with Michael Gallup, figure out what they're going to do with Amari Cooper, and that rotation at running back between Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. They got to figure that out really fast. But I just don't think continuity is a great thing. They need to be challenged right now to be the best they can possibly be, not comfortable.
It's an interesting perspective on it. And again, the idea that they are candidates for that job the following year also creates at least an interesting dynamic. Mike T, I'm just thinking about it. If we were to put up like a Twitter poll right now, who will be the Dallas Cowboys head coach two seasons from now? I think you would put Kellen Moore, Dan Quinn, Sean Payton, and other. You know, like, I'm not sure Mike McCarthy
and the other.
He would barely make the poll at this point, Mike T, the way people view this. And I say that mostly jokingly. But how about that dynamic? How complicated is that inside a building?
Well, it can be complicated, but in this case, the answer is simple. And Coach Belichick oftentimes, Greeny, says teams will lose games before we ever have to win it. And that's exactly what happened last year. The Dallas Cowboys had more penalties than any team in the NFL. That has to change. I actually see a little bit different than RG3. They score enough points, 30 points a game, when Dak was in the game. So to me, this is about Mike McCarthy's lack of discipline and not holding players accountable for penalties. That's what has to change. So instead of looking backwards at Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore, look forward and come up with a solution to make this team more disciplined.
Penalties, clock management, all of the traditional head coachy stuff, Dan, is where the question marks all seem to exist.
Yeah, and look, as the season goes along, we'll see how that has improved, if it has improved. And I think Mike McCarthy will be judged in large part on that, in addition to, you know, the wins and the losses. But, I mean, in terms of the offense, look, and Dak Prescott is very comfortable with Kellen Moore. They've been together a long time. But they have to have an honest conversation about what that offense was last year. More than 45% of their total points were scored in their six division games. They were a monster offense when they were playing the Giants, when they were playing Washington, when they were playing the Eagles. They were not a monster offense when they played anybody else, and they need to evaluate what went wrong in the key games down the stretch that cost them a chance to advance into the playoffs. I mean, I think they can and will,
yeah.
But I don't think to say, oh, we bring it back, run it back, do it all over again is necessarily
including the playoff game. What did they
absolutely
score? They scored very little in that, and if it wasn't for that interception that Garoppolo through, they may have scored even fewer. So, all right, going to be a very interesting offseason, but aren't they all when it comes to the Cowboys? As we continue, was there a rift between Brady and Bruce? Is that why Brady retired? Arians responded to those reports. You will hear that response as we continue. Plus, just how unhappy is LeBron with the Lakers? Is it possible he wants out of L.A.? We'll get that answer from Big Perk. He jumps in next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up. And again, if you are just joining us and had not seen this, obviously the fallout is still coming in from what happened in Madison, Wisconsin yesterday between the coaches of Michigan and Wisconsin. That's Juwan Howard there, who had a little bit of a verbal tiff with Greg Gard, the coach of Wisconsin, after a timeout was called late in a game that was decided. And then there's the moment right there when Howard throws that sort of open hand slap
that connects with the face of a Wisconsin assistant named Joe Krabenhoft. And that obviously is something that we cannot have. The Big Ten says that they will review the matter. Both those teams' next game is Wednesday. And so here's Big Perk, who gets up with us early here today. Kendrick Perkins, we're going to get to the NBA stuff in a minute. But Perk, obviously, it's in the basketball world. What do you think is an appropriate way for this to be handled?
Well, first of all, Greeny, it's unfortunate, right? Because you know you have kids, you're a guy, as coaches, you're there to set the example. Now, I'm gonna say this: both played a part in this, and both were wrong. Should Juwan Howard be fired? Absolutely not. Should he be suspended? Yes. But look, Greg Gard, he instigated this whole situation, and it started from when he called the timeout. He know that ran. He know that was being petty. And then when they were walking by, Juwan Howard tried to walk past him. And when a man tells you, "Don't touch me," believe him. Don't touch him. Just let it go. And so right there, that escalated the whole. That just added fuel to the fire, which escalated to the open hand slap. That's why things transpired. Now, again, I'm going to say this. He shouldn't be fired. Juwan Howard should not be fired, but he should be suspended.
Yeah, no one here has suggested, at least on our show this morning, I know I've seen some things in other places, no one here has suggested a firing would be an appropriate punishment here. And again, to point it out, Seth Greenberg said at the beginning of the hour, Juwan Howard is trying to do what they call a blow-by. The coach is just going to walk by. He's gonna, I got nothing to say to you to make it clear that he was upset about the timeout being called. And it is guard who stops him and instigates a confrontation is probably too strong a way of putting it. He wants to talk about what happened, and Juwan Howard then takes it to the next level. So to your point, Perk, I think you're right. Everyone has at least some blame in all of this.
Absolutely. And Greeny, I'm with the great Dick Vitale. He tweeted out yesterday and said that they should go away from the handshaking line, and I'm with him. Look, just send guys the opposite way. When you're in a conference game and it's a hostile environment like that, there's no reason to line up and shake hands. They had an incident that happened just last week or like 2 weeks ago with Evansville. Like, just go your opposite way and you won't have those problems. Every team just go to their locker room.
Okay, so we will leave that there for the moment. Again, we will wait and see. I would assume we're going to hear something from the Big Ten Conference by the end of this day. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, let's get to something that was a lot more fun yesterday. And that was the All-Star game last night. And it was a nice look at the moment there. The NBA All-75th team is there. It's Michael Jordan and LeBron James. And then the greatest of the stars last night was Steph Curry, just bombing away from everywhere. Steph Curry would score 50 points in this All-Star game, hitting 16 three-pointers. Many of them he didn't even watch go in. He turns his back as the ball is in the air, and then they wind up going. Now here's LeBron James. Remember, they're playing to a given score. 163 is the winner, so when LeBron knocked that in, we knew it was the last bucket of the game. The hometown kid with the game-winning basket. Steph is the MVP. LeBron James gets the last laugh. A nice night and a nice moment all the way around. It was a good All-Star game, capping off what was an interesting weekend.
The MVP over there, Sam Preston. He the MVP. I mean, Josh Giddey is great. Sam Preston, I don't understand this guy's eye for talent. He drafted KD, Russ, Jeff Green, Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson, Josh Giddey, and the list goes on and on and on. This guy's pretty damn good.
All right, to be clear, and I meant to set that up a little bit more, but he's talking about Oklahoma City's general manager, Sam Presti, who has long been one of the most respected executives in the NBA. But Big Perk, a lot of people interpreted that as though LeBron was using the opportunity to take a shot at the general manager of his own team, Rob Pelinka, because the Lakers didn't do anything really at the trade deadline. What did you think?
You know what? I don't think so, Greeny. And guess what? Here's the thing. LeBron James is frustrated right now with the Los Angeles Lakers, and he is frustrated that they didn't make a move at the trade deadline. But I don't think that press conference or what he said during the All-Star for us giving Sam Presti his just due for us praising him had anything to do with shooting a shot at Pelinka. You know, the question was asked to him about what was the ceiling or how did he feel about, you know, Josh Giddey. And I think he just went on to say how great of a job Sam Presti is doing. But now at the end of the day, let me dive into Rob Pelinka right now. Rob Pelinka, he do need to feel some type of way. And even if LeBron wasn't talking to him, he needs to act like LeBron was talking to him, because right now Rob is not doing the best for the Lakers, and he didn't do the best at the trade deadline. You know, at the end of the day, yes, we see that the Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis situation is not working. But it's Rob's job to fix those things. It's Rob's job to be aggressive. It's Rob's job to put these guys in position to be successful and not go on national TV or interviews and make up stories saying that, hey, we all came together. I talked with those guys and we all wanted to stand pat at the trade deadline, because that was absolutely false.
Okay, so some trouble in L.A. The question then becomes, might LeBron finish his career somewhere else, like Cleveland? So they were in Cleveland for the All-Star game, and they asked him about the possibility of finishing back there where it all began, and he said, quote, the door's not closed on that. I'm not saying I'm coming back and playing. I don't know. I don't know what my future holds. Now, you know LeBron well, Big Perk, and we both know that he is a person, he's very calculated. He knows that if he says that, the world is going to lose its mind. So how should we react to him saying that?
Exactly how we're reacting right now. You know what, Greeny? I wouldn't be mad at him for going back to Cleveland. Right now, Cleveland is eye candy. You got Darius Garland. You got Evan Mobley. You got Jared Allen. You have those three young guys that is the core of that franchise. And look, if LeBron James was to go back to Cleveland and match up with those guys and bring another championship to the state of Ohio, do you know what that does for his legacy? LeBron James ain't crazy. One thing about it, you don't make $1 billion while playing the game of basketball, or you don't have all these individual accolades, Greeny, by not being smart. LeBron James is ahead of his time. He's been that way since we was 16 years old. And so if he said the door is not closed, believe me, it don't have a lock on it, okay? It don't have a lock on it. It's wide open.
I'm with that. And again, Cleveland is the best team in the NBA that no one talks about at all. If you found a way to put LeBron James back there, they would, even in a jam-packed Eastern Conference, they would have to be considered the favorite. Now, having said that, LeBron also this weekend was talking about finishing his career playing with his son, Bronny. He said, my last year will be played with my son. Wherever Bronny is at, that's where I'll be. I would do whatever it takes to play with my son for 1 year. It's not about the money at that point. So again, and a very busy LeBron James morning, Big Perk. What'd you think of that?
Hey, Greeny, it gotta feel good to be powerful. See, what LeBron James is doing, all he's doing is setting the table for his son to get drafted. Because he's basically telling any team that it's a package deal. And which team, I don't care if LeBron James was 65, which team in the NBA would want LeBron James on their team? So what he's doing is he's setting his son up to pass the torch and setting his son up to succeed. Meaning, hey, if you draft my son, guess what? You get me. All he did was, this was a chess move by strategically planning out that when Bronny in a few years leave high school, go play 1 year of college or whatever he may do, that he's going to get drafted, because you're going to get LeBron James. Smart man, smart move.
All right, we'll see what the eligibility rules are then. Does he have to go to the 1 year of college and all of that? In the meantime, one more thing to get from you here, Perk, and that is the dunk contest this weekend. It was the object of a lot of scorn on Twitter. Candidly, it was just not good. That's Obi Toppin, who wound up winning the whole thing. But anyone who watched it doesn't need me to explain why the entire event was something of a dud. So Big Perk, put his face on the screen. Just put Big Perk's face on the screen. Because I turned around and looked at it and I couldn't get through my question. What are we doing about this thing, Big Perk?
Greeny, I have no idea, but I'm going to tell you, this was pure torture to me Saturday night. This was almost like My grandfather, when I was young, when he used to force me to watch the Westerns. Like, this was that bad. I mean, it was just heartbreaking to see. And I'm glad that the All-Star game was so good and Steph Curry and Embiid and Braun, and they put on a good show to make up for that we witnessed Saturday night. That was just horrible. They got to figure this out. These stars like Ja Morant got to start participating in the dunk contest and start to give the people what they want. Hell, to be honest with you, Greeny, I would have rather Dominique Wilkins, Dr. J, and Jordan and all the old school guys just get up there and do an old school dunk contest just to see if they could still dunk than watch this what I watched on Saturday night.
Would they have to do lower the rim for that? I did hear some people suggesting that, like maybe have those guys dunk at an 8-foot rim. What do you think?
Nah, I think they could still get up there. I seen Dominique Wilkins this past weekend. And I'm telling you, Green, he in great shape. I think he could still get up there and do some things.
How about you, Big Perk? Could you get out there and do a couple of slam dunks for us?
Hey, Greeny, look, don't start this morning. Me and you started off on the good side. You know I'm not dunking no more. You know I didn't put on this retirement 65 pounds. Ain't nothing about me says basketball, okay?
We'll try and get you out of retirement if we can. Thank you, big fella. We'll see you later today, NBA Today, and all kinds of stuff. Interesting week for the NBA during their All-Star break. By the way, bad news from the NBA yesterday. The Phoenix Suns are the best team in the NBA, but they're going to be without Chris Paul now 6 to 8 weeks. Oh, Big Perk, do I still have him? No, I lost him here. Anyway, the regular season ends in 7 weeks, so that's obviously a really tough loss for the Suns. We'll see when he's able to come back, if at all, during the regular year. If not, it could go into the playoffs. But again, Chris Paul out 6 to 8 with a fracture in his right thumb. In other news from the world of sports yesterday, getting up and going, in Florida, Austin Cindric held off Bubba Wallace to win the Daytona 500. It was his first career cup victory in 8 starts, 23-year-old. Second youngest driver ever to win the race. And I spent a lot of the weekend watching golf, the world's top 10 players on the course at the Genesis at Riviera. 23-year-old Joaquin Niemann stole the show, overcoming a few anxious moments, and became the first wire-to-wire winner at that tournament in 53 years. Tiger is the host, and they had a nice moment together there. All right, coming up, was there a rift between Brady and Bruce? Is that why Brady retired? Wait until you hear what Arians had to say about that. You will in just a moment. And look who's back here. Sneaky Hembo is ready for you, Graziano. It's President's Day. Oh, so it's a President's-themed question.
Yes.
Who was President of the United States the day of the first playoff game in NFL history? Oh, it's Sneaky. And the answer is next. Let's get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, so Hembo's gotten very sneaky on this President's Day holiday for Graziano. Who was president of the United States the day of the first playoff game in NFL history?
I think that the first playoff game in NFL history was sometime in the 1930s, right? So for most of that decade, the president was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So I may be wrong if it was early in the 30s, but that's definitely
correct. No, it's correct.
Guess.
FDR is correct. The first playoff game was played December 17th, 1933 at Wrigley Field. Mm. The Bears beat the Giants.
The Bears or the Staleys?
They were not the Decatur Staleys anymore. Okay. They were the Bears. Again, 33. The NFL had existed at that point for about a dozen years, but he gets it right. So score that one for Graziano.
Forever.
Put it up there. He's up 7-6. Hembo missed an extra point, and that's why we stand where we stand at this stage. All right, speaking of football, we got a brand new feature for you here, and it's called Threes Keys. And this is going to be Robert Griffin III with his keys to a bunch of different stories around the NFL. It begins in Pittsburgh. RG3, take it away.
Yeah, if you didn't know, Brian Flores was hired as an assistant to the head coach, linebackers coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If there was ever a team that was going to hire the man that sued the NFL for workplace discrimination, it would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, who helped implement the Rooney Rule. Now, it doesn't change the fact that Brian Flores is overqualified for the position and that black coaches are hired as assistants more frequently than they ever are as head coaches, but it's a step in the right direction. Good on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Next topic, we got Lamar Jackson. No one's talking about him. Lamar Jackson is the single most dynamic offensive weapon in the entire league. And he is going to reintroduce himself to everybody when it's all said and done next year, right? People don't talk about him as a top five quarterback. They don't talk about him as a guy you want to build around. But he is going to show everybody just how dynamic he is, and nobody does more for their team than Lamar Jackson does. And this next topic we have here is on Kyler Murray, right? And the character assassination that happened. Now, I get it. Kyler Murray started this with the public positioning by removing all of the references to the Cardinals on his social media. But the attack by the Cardinals after that, the character assassination, was down low and dirty. When the rubber met the road, the Cardinals let Kyler Murray know that they'd rather assassinate him publicly than to pay him or to protect him. And I think it's our job in the media not to just worry about those stories from the insiders in the league offices. We have to tell these players' stories correctly, because if we don't, a lot of this stigma carries on with them for the rest of their careers. And I don't think that's fair to the player. So for Kyler Murray, if I was him, I'd want out of Arizona.
That's an interesting perspective. Very quickly, what is the right story there? Again, for those who didn't follow it, he scrubbed the team from his social media, which got everyone going. And then there are the stories out there, to your point, they're suggesting all of a sudden the stories come out there. Well, he's immature, he's a finger pointer, all that kind of stuff. That's what you mean by that. Do you think the beginning of the end of Murray in Arizona is upon us?
I don't know if the beginning of the end is upon us. I think it already ended, right? As soon as he scrubbed them from his social media, he was letting everybody know that he was upset about something. Whether it was where he felt like he was portrayed as a scapegoat in the playoff loss, even though he didn't play very well, or it's because they don't want to pay him. Maybe they hit a snag in negotiations on a contract extension. I don't know what it is, but I do find it very odd that the team then comes out soon thereafter and then tries to devalue Kyler Murray to the rest of the league. There's 25 teams that would love to have him as their starting quarterback. He's a dynamic player, and yes, he's young and he has room to grow. But don't go out there and try to assassinate the man's character and then come back later and say, hey, we didn't mean it.
That's a really interesting perspective. It's a way I hadn't thought about it before, so I'm glad we did that. RG3, well done. Meanwhile, let's talk about a quarterback in an entirely different set of circumstances. It's been nearly 3 weeks since Tom Brady retired, but questions still linger about a possible return to football. Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians said he'd be shocked if the 44-year-old Brady returns from retirement. And Dan Graziano, this came in the context of him being asked about reports that Brady and Arians had some sort of rift and that may have contributed. So Arians addressed that as well. For those who didn't see it, what was that piece of the story?
Well, there was a report that Arians and Brady were at odds this year over game planning, that Arians would tear up the game plan after Brady and Byron left, which made Arians strongly and profanely denying those reports in an interview with the Tampa Bay Times, during which he also says he would be shocked if Tom Brady were to come out of retirement. But I do feel compelled to remind our viewers that Bruce Arians, a little more than a month ago, said he would be shocked if Tom Brady retired. So it could be a guy who's easily shocked.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and it's not going away quickly. And so, Mike T, I guess I would ask you, is Brady retired from the NFL, or at this moment, is he just retired from the Buccaneers?
I think it's the latter, Greeny, from a standpoint of he was clear that saying in his Instagram post thanking Tampa Bay, clearly moving on from them. But it's also worth noting that with Jim Gray, he didn't say, I'm done forever. He kind of left the door open. So to me, it gets very interesting later in the summer when he may say to Tampa, hey, I'm interested in coming back, but not playing for you. And now that puts Tampa in a really difficult position, Greeny.
So RG3, help me with this, because you had an interesting perspective on the Kyler Murray thing about some of the, you know, the things that we don't necessarily see. And I keep going back to this. I mean, Jim Gray asked Brady after he retired about it, and Brady could easily have just said, Jim, what part of retired was unclear here? But he didn't do that. He chose not to do that. So how should I be interpreting this, Robert Griffin III?
You know, Greeny, you talk about LeBron and how he knows that everyone's hanging on every single word that he says. Well, Tom Brady knows the same thing, and I don't put anything past him. He could say he's retired and be working in the Bat Cave to be the week one starter for the Indianapolis Colts. So with this story about him and Arians, it is interesting, but he has plausible deniability because he never really ever addresses these types of stories, whether it's about Arians or about Bill Belichick. He's just worried about making statements with his pay, with his play, right? His rings and those magnificent videos that he puts on social media. Hats off to his editing team. But Tom Brady is 44 years old. He's worried about hanging out with his wife and his kids. And we are just clamoring for this man to come back. I wouldn't be shocked if he came back because it's Tom Brady. He's going to leave that door open. But it would be an interesting fit in Indy, no doubt.
Yeah, Indy is – he'll be 45 in August, by the way. Indy, if indeed we do start reading signals out there, you know, we'll be looking for anything we can that he is considering coming back. What will be the usual suspects in all of this, Dan Graziano?
Well, I mean, Indianapolis makes sense. It seems like they're going to be looking. I have my eye on Las Vegas if they don't want to commit to Derek Carr, which it sounds like they may, but Josh McDaniels is the new head coach there. He and Tom Brady know each other very, very well. San Francisco has been floated out there. Obviously, they have their guy for the future and very little to trade as a result of getting that guy. And it's important to remember that too, right? If he wants to come back, Tampa Bay is going to own his rights. They may have to trade him. The team may have to give up something of value to get Tom Brady to come to their team.
Yeah, there are a lot of moves that will have to take place. There's so much history between him and the Colts, not all of it good with Deflategate and all the rest of that. I would be surprised if that happened. Maybe for that reason, we'll wind up seeing. All right, interesting stuff. Meanwhile, the conversation continues next here on ESPN, as always, with First Take. They're at the top of the hour. What punishment should Juwan Howard face for that moment? And what did LeBron's comments over the weekend say about his status with the Lakers? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Kendrick Perkins, top of the hour right here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Don't miss our next ACC Big 12 Big Monday doubleheader tonight. Carolina hosts Louisville. That's at 7 Eastern. Then number 7, Baylor, squares off against Oklahoma State. Both those games are right here on ESPN and the ESPN app. And again, Graziano's coming over with me to radio. We'll be on in 60 seconds. Davante Adams franchise tag tomorrow morning. What do you think?
I like Tannenbaum's idea, doing it right away. They are really trying to convince Rodgers that they want him back. We'll
see. Great holiday. We will see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.